next Sunday. Hallelujah. It's good to be home. We went to Kentucky, had a great time with our kids, and as you heard, Delonda did hurt herself. She fell down the stairs, and but she's okay. She's hurting. She might lean a little bit today, but you get in that place of healing today in the name of Jesus. Amen. But it's great to be here. My kids are doing great. I got to go minister at World Rock on Saturday night. They do church on Saturday night, so we got to minister in Kentucky out there. And just a great time, what God's doing back there. And but excited to be home. It's always great to be home. This is a great place to be. Amen. Well, the title of my message today is Why Christmas? Why do we celebrate Christmas? What's the big deal about it? I'm going to tell you what the big deal is today, and it's not what you think it is. I mean, because listen, Santa Claus, it's not about Santa Claus. It's not about the tree. It's not about giving gifts or getting gifts, you know, unless you're giving to the Lord. That's not what Christmas is about. Amen, Pastor Ron. Come on, man. I'm going to tell you today what Christmas is all about, and I pray. You know, we had a basket out there that had invite cards to the church. And I printed up 1,000 of them, and we put them out there for 2 weeks, and they're all gone. So I hope you're handing them out wherever you go, your invite cards. So I ordered a whole bunch more this week, so you can just keep inviting people, because that's what we want to do, just fill the seats up. And it's looking a lot fuller today, and it's good to see you all here. Amen? So why don't we stand, and we're going to read out of Luke chapter 19, and I'm coming at Christmas from a different point of view, so get ready, hold on. Let's see. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house. Verse 1, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today, everybody say today, I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into your word today, I pray our hearts to be open wide as to why Christmas. And Lord, your true meaning of what you've come for and what you want to do in our lives. And Father, in the lives of this community. And I pray, God, that our hearts would be stirred with a passion for who you are and a compassion for the lost like you had. And Lord, that we could reach many and touch many lives in this season. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. There's this guy in England who banned all customers from his grocery store. He told a London newspaper that he was forced to take such drastic action because of people's bad manners. First, he banned smoking. Then he banned crude language. Then he banned baby strollers. Then he banned pets. And finally, he banned customers themselves from his grocery store. I know, it seems crazy, huh? I mean, how do you have a grocery store and you ban all the customers, too? You just got fed up with everybody. You got fed up with the junk. So shoppers now must look through a window to spot the items they want, then ring a bell to be served through a small hatch in the door. He says, I've lost business, but I cannot say how much. He says, I am a man of principle, and I stand by my decision. Not a good way to do business, but it seems that a grocer that bans customers from his store lost sight of the purpose. If you have a grocery store, you need customers. Your aim is to sell groceries to people. And if you ban the people, you're shooting yourself in the foot as far as your business. So with, you know, if you put out the people you dislike, how are you going to achieve the purpose? And just like the grocer, many churches have forgotten the Savior's purpose: to seek and to save that which is lost. We don't like the sinful habits and worldly ways of people out in the world. If they want to come to the door of the church and tell us what they want, we serve them, and otherwise let them shop elsewhere. We maintain our principles. Now, that's not New Hope, but that's a lot of the world today, a lot of the church today. Don't want to have anything to do with the world. But we are to seek, Jesus said, seek and save that which is lost. So I'm gonna ask, why Christmas? And I think you're starting to get the answer that I'm going to give you today. Jesus has come to seek and save that which is lost. That's why Christmas. Amen. The crowd was so upset with Jesus when he went to that tax collector's house. You know, religious people really get stirred up when you do things out of the norm. I remember when Delon and I lived in a foreign country, and we were elders in a church, and they wanted to do a thing called happy hour. And I'm like, what? You know, what do you mean happy hour? And they said, what we're going to do is we're going to go in, we made an agreement with a restaurant, and we're going to put out soft drinks and hors d'oeuvres, and we're going to invite people to come to happy hour. And they can order alcohol, or they can order a meal or whatever, but we're going to share the love of Jesus with them while they're there, and we're going to do events every Friday night to attract people to come. And the first one was going to be a debate between an atheist and a Christian. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. You know, that religious side of me was going, I don't think this is a good idea, you know, to go in and do this. I was fighting in my head. I didn't say anything, but I'm thinking, ah. But I said, you know what? I'm gonna die to Ron King, and I'm going to go along with this, and I'm going to do it. We won so many people to Jesus on Friday nights there. We had to start so many house churches because so many people were getting won to Jesus because we were just going in there having fun and sharing the love of Jesus with people. And it was an amazing time. But when you start doing things that are going to ruffle religious feathers, people start talking. Not in this church, though. You guys got real quiet right then. But when we see the people we despise and hate getting a visitation from God, we don't like it. It's just like when you see a death row inmate make a confession of Christ, you're like, yeah, sure. You know, but it can happen, amen? And that's what we hope for. We hope that people that are on death row are making a confession of faith. Pastor Jesse, how long did you do prison ministry? 17 years you went into the prison. And I remember Pastor Jesse asked me one day, he says, hey, it's Christmas at the prison. Would you come and preach? I'm thinking, it's Christmas Day, man. You know, and he's like, well, come on Christmas Day and preach. I'm thinking, that's family time, you know. And I said, you know, I told Delonda, I go, Delonda will not let me go on Christmas Day. So I told Delonda, Pastor Jesse wants me to come preach in the prison on Christmas Day. She's like, you better go. Well, all right, you know. So I went to the prison, and you know what I preached on Christmas Day? I didn't preach about a tree or Santa Claus. I preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues on Christmas Day. And we had half that congregation come forward and get filled with the Holy Spirit that day. It was a powerful time. I was excited. Them guys coming, we laying hands on them. I'm like, can we lay hands on them? It's like, yes, we did, man. And it was an incredible time. But when you do things that are out of the norm, it ruffles people's feathers. Even though they hate, you know, because the tax collectors were the hated guys. They were Jews that worked for the Romans that cheated Jews. That's what they did. They cheated Jews, so the Jews hated them. So now you have Jesus visiting with a dreaded evil tax collector. I feel like I'm talking about a San Francisco baseball team or something, you know. The dreaded evil giants is what I call them. But he's a dreaded evil tax collector. And you got people who that are righteous that are freaking out. But here he goes in and he's doing it. And even though they're hated by the Jews, Jesus always had a good encounter with a tax collector. You see, man, remember when he went to Matthew's house and he said, Matthew, follow me. And Matthew left everything to follow Jesus. And maybe, I mean, we don't know why Zacchaeus climbed that tree today. We don't know why he's out there, Holly, to, you know, get a glimpse of him. But maybe it was he heard about what happened to Matthew, and he's like, I need to go check this guy out. I mean, you got Matthew, he's a tax collector, and he left everything, and now here Zacchaeus is like, he's coming, let's go check him out. He climbs a tree, and he's up there, and, you know, bam, it happens. You know, it's so good what Jesus was doing with the sinners that Jesus chose one of them to be an apostle. He made Matthew an apostle. He wrote the first book of the New Testament. That's how great it was. And that's how big Jesus' heart was for the sinners. In chapter 18, it says that Jesus had an encounter with a rich young ruler. The young man could not give up his riches to follow Jesus. Because Jesus said, do this, this, and this. And the guy's like, well, I do all that. You see, and the thing of it is, nobody keeps the law. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have to come. So for that rich young ruler to say, you know, in all of his pride, I do all these things. But that was the very reason why Jesus came, is because we don't do all those things. So Jesus took it a step further in to find out where he really was. He says, okay, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And he's like, yeah, no. And he went away sad. Don't raise your hand, but could you do that? Could you give away everything you have and go and follow him? Now, I'm assuming Matthew was probably married. I mean, I look at the disciples. They were all married. And they went and they left and they followed Jesus. They did what he called them to do. And then you got verse 8, you come to Zacchaeus, and it says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone else by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And this story reveals God's grace and power that he extends to us, that he extends to mankind. It's not just for those that are in the church, it's for everybody. I remember I had this minister come to me one time talking to me, and he said, I bet you're one of those guys that thinks that everybody could be saved. I'm like, aren't you? I mean, Jesus died for everybody, right? You know, where were you when he found you? What were you doing when he found you? Amen? And he has found us. So by Christmas, to seek and save that which is lost. You know, we're doing the arrival on Saturday night at 5 o'clock. We're investing time, energy, and money for you to bring your friends and family the hope that they get saved. I pray that you utilize this opportunity, that this place, balcony full, everything, because we're doing our job, amen? So number one, I want to tell you about what Jesus did, why Christmas. Jesus sought out the lost. As Jesus was walking down the road, there must have been a lot of people around him. I mean, Zacchaeus is short, and he said, there's so many people, there's no way I'm going to be able to see him. I'm going to climb this tree. And he got up in that tree, and he was looking just to see Jesus as he came. But when Jesus came, Jesus approached him. Zacchaeus, get down out of that tree. I'm coming to your house today. See, right there, Jesus used the power of God because he called him out by name, Zacchaeus. And we've had men and women of God in this church that have called out specific things, you know, specific names, addresses. I remember we had a pastor on staff here a while back, and he was sitting over here with his wife, and the prophet was up here and went over there and said, you know, God wants to bless you. Could you give me that red wallet that's in your purse? And she goes, I don't have a red wallet. I didn't bring it today. And she said, okay. And she went back, and she's ministering. And she come back, she goes, are you sure you don't have a red wallet today? And And her husband goes, could you please just look? This is getting embarrassing. You know, so she opened up her purse, and there was her red wallet. And God prayed for them. And, you know, God blessed them with a great pastorate out in Joshua Tree right after that. You know, and she's, the prophet was saying, God wants to bless you. But God will show you things. And God showed Jesus who Zacchaeus was. Zacchaeus, get down out of that tree. And then Jesus invited himself over for dinner. I think I'll start doing that, huh? Invite myself over for dinner. And he went to the tax collector's home. And everyone was upset with Jesus because what he was doing was he was leaving the 99 and going after the one. He was leaving the crowd to get to the one. And sometimes that always doesn't always look right to people. Sometimes that doesn't always please everybody. But when you have it in your heart, what Jesus did to seek and save the lost, you'll learn to go along. You'll learn to stretch yourself. We can't lose the focus of Jesus just because he's not walking around on the earth anymore. He has sent his word and his Holy Spirit to empower us to begin to do this, to seek and save that which is lost. We have the power of God inside of us to use the gifts of the Spirit to say, Zacchaeus, get down out of that tree. I'm coming over today. Or, hey, how you doing? My name's Ron. You want to have coffee? You can do it. You can open up your mouth and begin to speak. Amen? I was walking in the grocery store yesterday, and this lady's cart bumped into me, and I looked at her, and I just smiled, and then I went around to the other side, and there she was, and she walked up to me, and she goes, you know, you're the third person that smiled at me today. I said, well, God bless you. My name's Ron King. And I walked away. Well, I just, you know, you can just reach out. You can extend yourself. Amen? You can just declare. I wish I was wishing I had cards with me. I would have just handed her a card. Come to church. Meet Jesus. So number one, Jesus sought out the lost. Number two, Jesus confronted the lost. He didn't just go look and pray for him. He looked and confronted him. Amen. He didn't condemn him. He didn't shame him. He didn't say, Zacchaeus, what are you doing to the Jews? Why are you a tax collector? What are you doing to my people? Don't you know that we hate guys like you? Don't you know that you're the most hated in all of Israel? You know, because you're a Jew and you treat us like dirt. He didn't do that. He didn't condemn him. He didn't make fun of him. He used his gifting to reach out to him. We don't know, like I said, what Zacchaeus was looking for when he climbed that tree. Maybe he's just curious. Maybe you're even here today because you're just curious about Jesus. When our focus is not on the Christmas tree, our focus is not on Santa Claus, our presents we will get, you know, it's really bad. My daughter got a phone call on my grandson when he was in kindergarten because he was telling all the kids there's no such thing as Santa Claus. My papa's Santa Claus. This is in kindergarten, so the teacher called my daughter and said, hey, could you get him to stop saying that? She goes, well, we don't believe in Santa Claus. She goes, yeah, but could you get him to stop saying that? You know, because all the focus goes to Santa Claus, and there is no Santa Claus. What? Loud and clear. my youngest one, he's three. Almost three. He'll be three in a couple of days. They said, you want to see Santa Claus? He goes, who's Santa Claus? You don't even know. They don't focus on that. And we shouldn't focus. We need to let our kids know what the true meaning of Christmas. It's not even about a baby being born in a manger. It's about that Jesus, our Savior, came to earth to save us. Amen. He came to reveal truth to us. That's what this day is all about, December 25th. And it's not even December 25th. You weren't born on December 25th. Not even close. I hope I'm not bursting anybody's bubble right now. We're all adults, and we should be. I notice there's no kids in here today. I'm not gonna, you know, destroy your kids today. But our focus has got to be on Jesus. And listen, when you set your heart on that, God will begin to create for you divine appointments. He'll begin to make a way for you to be set up to do this. You know, and as we see them, we can confront them and we can approach them. It can be simple as, hey, let's get a coffee. Or, hey, you got a minute. Hey, let me invite you to church. Give them a car. It can be that simple. You just begin to extend yourself and touch them for the King of Glory. Amen? Allow yourself to be personable with them. You know, Jesus didn't go, oh, like I said, he didn't condemn Zacchaeus. He didn't say, oh, brother, you're going to hell. That wasn't what he was doing. He's like, he went there with the kindness of God inside of him, and he touched him. And all we have to do is learn to let that foundation of love that we're building our lives upon flow through us. And as that foundation of love is alive in us and it flows through us, you're going to touch people for the King of Glory. Jesus didn't come to condemn the lost. He didn't come to condemn us, so we shouldn't either. Amen? There's no sin going on out there that Jesus won't forgive except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. We know that. So there's no sin that Jesus won't forgive. So you should forgive everything. Amen? You should not hold it against a person because they're this or that or the other thing. You should always just lead them to repentance. Jesus was real with people. And he went to them. And he confronted them. And when he did that, number three, there were signs of repentance. Signs of repentance. There needs to be signs of repentance in our lives. You know, we know repentance means I was going one way and I turned around and now I'm going another way. I was going one way in the world, now I'm turning around and I'm going with Jesus. Signs of repentance. I was drunk, smoking, foul-mouthed, crazy guy when I was going this way, and when I repented of my sins, I stopped smoking, drinking, and cussing, and I turned around and followed Jesus. I started working on my marriage to follow Jesus. There was fruits of repentance. And when you see here, you know, look at all this, it just means God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. It's not making people saying a prayer and confessing their sins. Zacchaeus encountered Jesus and he repented of his sins. There was not no, hey, you need to repent. He just did it because of the presence of God that was with him. You know, in Romans 2:4 it says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience? Showing contempt for his riches and kindness and forbearance and patience is meeting him and still continuing with the way you're going. That's showing contempt. But realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. See, and God's kindness is this, that he doesn't give us what we deserve. He doesn't condemn us to death and hell. He speaks life into us in forgiveness of sins. He is life and forgiveness, and that's what he does. And so we have to realize and don't show contempt towards what God's done for you. Enter into that kindness and repent of all your sins and give them to Jesus. And remember, repentance isn't just saying a prayer. You can say, I repent of all this, but and that's great that we do that outward sign, that sign of confessing our faults, because he says, confess and you'll be healed. And so when I confess, Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess, Lord, that I drink. I confess, I smoke. I confess, I swear. And then he healed me. That day, and bam, I was a new guy. The next day, from Friday to Monday, the employees at the company were like, who is this guy? I work for a pastor, and he was freaked out when I came to work on Monday because I went to every guy crying and sharing what Jesus had did for me. I worked in a machine shop. It wasn't no flower party in that place, I'll tell you. And I went in there. I didn't care, Don Maurice. I just shared Jesus with him, and I was crying because I said, man, I'm sorry if I ever said anything. I'm sorry if my smoking has bothered you. I will not ever do it again. I'm never drinking again. And I told him everything way back then. It was a long time ago, praise God. And I got free. See, so, but there's an outward sign, because I came to this altar and I repented. But then there's got to be fruits of repentance. And Zacchaeus is like, you know what? Hey, I'm going to give away all, I'm going to give back this. I'm going to, you know, and if I've done any wrong to anybody, I'm going to pay them four times more. And Jesus is like, wow, that's awesome, Zacchaeus. You know, he just did it out of that because he was repenting of his sins. He's repenting of what he'd been doing. And Jesus, a holy man of God, the Son of God, went to that guy's house and just loved him. Just loved him. Look, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any accusation, I restore fourfold. Fruits of repentance. We can't just say it. You know, I look at the guy that got his inheritance early from his dad. He asked his dad, can I have my inheritance now? And he went out and he spent it all. And he was eating pig slop and starving to death. And he said, my father's servants eat better than this. Oh, I'm so sorry I did what I did. I think I'll go home. And he, signs of repentance. He went home, humbled himself before his father. And his father, what did he do? He received him. He hugged him. He put a robe on him. He put a ring on his finger. He killed the fatted calf for him. The celebration. He threw a party because that which was lost was now found. And that's the way heaven does it when we come to Jesus. And then Jesus, number four, saved him. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. Salvation came to Zacchaeus and his house because of his repentance. That's incredible. It's so awesome. Not by guilt or condemnation did he repent, but by kindness. Jesus was kind to him. The kindness of God moving through us will lead people to repentance, and then salvation will come. And when salvation comes to a house, it's for everybody. It's for everybody. There's some people here today, I know just by the Spirit that you have family members and you have kids that you're believing for. And I'm just telling you right now, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up, because it's coming. It's coming to you. It's coming. He said, you know, Zacchaeus, and he said, today salvation has come to this house. So as you've repented of your sins and salvation has come to your house, believe for your house. I believe for my whole house. I believe for my extended family, my brothers and sisters, my nieces and nephews. I believe for all of them in the name of Jesus, amen, that they're going to be saved in Jesus' name. When salvation comes to a house, it's all for everybody that believes in Jesus. And it does produce fruits of repentance. There's a sign that something happens. Like I said, Matthew left it all to follow Jesus. The woman at the well confessed Christ, and it brought about a couple of days of revival in that area. Everybody came out of the village to hear what, from the man that had used the gifts of the Spirit to minister to us. Zacchaeus repaid all the wrong he had done without being asked. Why Christmas? Salvation. To be saved. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. If you're saved today, you need to put this on as your priority, to seek and save that which is lost. To reach out to those who are around you. To confront the lost with the kindness of God that's going to draw them to repentance and to Jesus. If you're not saved, And by saved, I mean if you haven't committed your life to Jesus, this is a great time to do it. But what we're going to do, we're going to worship for a few minutes. And maybe you're here today and you say, wow, there's something I really need to repent for. There's some things I need to repent for. And you just know you got to get it out. You got to give it to the Lord today. While we're worshiping, I invite you to come and just kneel at the altar. And listen, don't let fear intimidate you or whatever. If you know you've got some stuff in your life you need to repent of, and that means you're going to leave it here at the altar and you're going to go and you're going to leave it here. You're saying, I'm going to be free today. I want you, while we worship, I want you to come. And then after we do that, then I'm going to come back. And if there's anybody that needs to be saved today, we're going to give you that opportunity to be saved. And maybe you've already committed your life to Jesus, but you've still been holding on to some things. As we worship today, just come and let it go. Why don't you stand with me as we sing today?
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. The praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Back up, Ed, please. Just leave them there for a minute. Maybe you're here today and you say, I need to make that commitment to Jesus. I need to surrender my life to Him today and make Him Lord of my life. If there's anybody here that says that today, please raise your hand right now. Okay, well then I'm just going to believe that you're all born again, Jesus believing. Amen. So then I challenge you with this last bit of this song. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Father, I pray today that, Lord, that we would seek out the lost. Father, that we would, Lord, confront them. Father, that there'd be signs of repentance and there'd be salvation. Father, that we would move in the kindness of the Lord, that we'd move in your love, Father God, to those that are around us, that you've brought us to. And Father, that we'd not be pointing out, Lord, their junk, but Lord, we'd be pointing them to Jesus. We'd be bringing them to that place of knowing Jesus. And Father, I pray that you fill each person here today so overflowing with your love, God, that, Lord, it'd be supernatural, God, what happens in us, even this week. God, that you create divine appointments for each one of us, God, to reach out and to touch somebody for the King of Glory. And Lord, that we'd not be afraid, but Lord, we'd be bold. We'd be filled with a holy boldness to touch people for Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We love you. I pray a covering over every person here today. That every person go healed and whole in Jesus' name, Lord, with the power of God in their life. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand today, huh? Hallelujah. Have a great week and God bless you.